And we're running.
Lovely.
How is everybody?
Yeah, not bad. I had a bad thing happen, which was genuinely quite dramatic.
Who did you kill?
You joke.
Was it manslaughter?
No. I was playing Korfball. We had a very nice game of Korfball. Packed up and everything, getting ready to leave. And one of the people we were playing against had a heart attack. So, like a full-on, you know, went grey, went white, collapsed, use the defibrillator, do the chest compressions, call an ambulance, heart attack. Which was deeply stressful. Also quite... We got three ambulances and four police officers out there within 9 minutes of picking up the phone. And it was only after that we sort of gone home and decompressed a bit that we put it together that it was in the same school that there was a murder-suicide of the head teacher almost exactly a year previously.
Well, I thought you were going to say at the same time. That's why there were three ambulances that showed up.
No. But yes, so I think the emergency
service... No reaction.
Yeah.
So is this school built on a cursed graveyard or something?
All graveyards are cursed. That's a trick question.
Yeah.
Dan, I have some questions, but the most important one first is, did this person live?
Shockingly, yes.
Right, that's fine. That gives me green light to be as glib as I like.
Yeah, no,
I was worried that Adam
had
done too much pre-glibbing.
Yeah, it's always safest to check the lay of the land before you start becoming glib. So, glib mode set to 100%.
Yes.
It was a person on the opposing team.
Yes.
So not somebody you actually care about.
No. Well, obviously I do, but like he's one of the senior officials in the league.
Okay, so it's somebody you knew reasonably well. It wasn't just a stranger.
Yes.
And were they a Dutch person?
No.
That's interesting, because most Korfball players are Dutch, aren't they?
Most English Korfball players are English, if that makes sense.
No, it makes zero sense.
Hang on, how many English Korfball players aren't English?
Sorry, Korfball players
aren't English. I think he meant within their league.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they should all be Dutch, or they should fucking grow up.
Well, like it should be like a requirement of playing.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Citizenship
must be a quota, surely. You must have to have a certain number of...
Is this a way to get an EU passport, Dan? If you once you play Korfball for long enough, you just become Dutch.
Maybe it's a skill on the Dutch immigration form.
Possibly. Look, I think the problem is that half of Dutch people consider Korfball just weird and fucked up, and the other half are really into it.
Yeah, I think they all consider it weird and fucked up. It's just that half of them also like it.
No, that's fair. Quite a lot of Dutch people are weird and fucked up.
Oh, yeah. That's become part of the course, isn't it? Mm. So, talk me through this step by step. You were... How close were you to this gentleman?
Like, touching?
You caused the heart attack.
No. So, basically... it was at their
gentleman home ground. Became overexcited in Dan's vicinity.
Well, no, the thing is, right, a couple of months ago, I was playing against a guy, and he did actually have an angina attack whilst playing against him. So I'm slightly worried.
Angina. So that's two people you've given heart defects to.
Yes.
Were you wearing your short little shorts?
No.
Your black socks and nothing else.
No. That's your Korfball uniform, though, isn't it?
Well, my Korfball uniform is just shorts. I have knee-length ones. Ooh, no one wants to be seeing my tasty white thighs.
Tops off?
No.
Tops off. You go skins every time, don't you?
No.
He insists. he volunteered to be the uniform washer
kitman.
So that he could a kitman, yeah, so he could just leave it at home every week.
I mean,
bad news, guys.
I have the training
on it again.
But the good news is we can be skins. I checked with the ref, he said it's fine. He said, fuck's sake, Daniel, yes, fine.
no stripping. There is no semi-nudity.
That's full nudity.
Sorry?
Full nudity.
So you were stood next to the man. What were his... Well, what would have been his last words had he not sadly made it? Had he sadly not made it?
I was standing in the foyer. He was sitting in the hall. His wife came out and sort of looked a bit weird and said, "Can you come and look? He's really ill." Or he looks ill. And then I went inside and he was like slumped on a bench. And
oh, so you weren't next to him when the heart attack occurred?
No.
Dan, you need to get your alibi in sooner than this.
Yes.
Okay, so then you went in, and did you do mouth-to-mouth on him?
No.
Oh, come on, Dan.
Were the three of you like the only people there?
There was about five of us.
Why did they come and fetch you?
And you were the number one person.
We were literally the people standing outside the sports hall. Like, everyone else had left.
So she didn't just say to herself, "I need to get Daniel." No. She just said, "Any person, oh God, it's Daniel, fine, you'll do."
Yes, very much.
Yeah, oh, okay, fine. That makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So you went in, you immediately removed his top, just because his clothes might be cutting off circulation. So you said, we just need to undress him straight away. So you did that. Then you gave him mouth-to-mouth.
Nope.
Said, "I just need to check his penis."
No.
So then,
I work for the NHS.
Yeah.
It's all right, I'm a professional.
Yeah. Got out his ID badge. Got out your union card. Said, that's my insurance. So then you had to get... And there's a defib on site, or was it one like in a phone box down the road that you had to run and get?
No, it was actually on site. It was outside the hall.
On-site. Did you have to phone up the number to get the code to get it out of the thing, or was it just accessible?
No, just accessible.
And who stuck the pads on?
My friend Sarah.
Oh, did you press the button?
No.
Oh, what? She could at least let you press the button, couldn't she?
Meh. She was better than Crisis.
Did you shout clear?
No, it does that for you.
How loud?
You could repeat.
Yeah,
you could repeat it.
Because a little electronic voice isn't going to be. Did you shout, "We need 500cc of morphine, stat"?
No.
That's quite a lot of morphine, to be fair. Don't give people 500cc of morphine.
That would not help.
Well,
you'd die happily.
Yeah, okay, you probably don't give people half a litre of morphine, do you?
After you'd administered the fatal injection.
Then you defib them to bring them back. We've discussed this before. It's basically an on-off toggle.
Yes.
So, at what point did you call an ambulance?
Immediately. Like, he was...
What kind of condition was he in when the ambulance arrived?
Not breathing and not really having a heartbeat.
So, did he was dead when they arrived?
And no, actually, said, the thing got is...
The defib kind of keeps you... ticking.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was in VFib rather than like completely heart stopped. But
what's VFib? What does that mean?
It's when your heart sort of rather than bump 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 is like
just all over the place. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So when they arrived,
it's like a car misfiring.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not actually that serious, and it's basically.
Oh yeah, it is.
He would have lived. If you just left him on the ground, he'd been fine probably.
No.
When they arrived, did you say, "Listen, lads, we've done all we can. We just need to let him go"?
I've already called it.
So all agreed, time 9:02.
No. We went on with it.
So you just, did you not even stay to like just say, "Oh, we tried that, didn't work. We tried that one"? So that's quite good. They need to know. Did you take responsibility when they arrived? And did you walk in with the paramedics? You went to the ambulance, walked in with them, and said, "Right, we've got a single white male, aged 34, in cardiac arrest.
A lot of morphine.
We gave him half a litre of morphine. That was a mistake.
This is cool. It's normal."
Sarah defibbed him, wouldn't let me do it. It's a bit of a... I trust you'd talk to her about that afterwards.
Yes.
Well, okay, I'm glad that you didn't kill anyone, Dan.
I'm glad I didn't kill anyone either.
Want of trying. And so then he went off to the hospital, and now he's absolutely fine, and everything's fine, is it?
Ooh.
Or is he still in hospital and quite gravely?
He's still very much in hospital, but yeah, it seems like he's probably not going to die immediately.
Well, that's nice. So when was this?
When
did this happen?
Sunday.
Okay. And how are you feeling, Daniel?
I was honestly pretty stressed about it. But,
yeah, a bit shaken up. It's not nice. How would you rate your response?
About five.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Room for improvement, but still not bad. So,
yeah, I don't want to do it again.
I mean, you didn't actively make the situation worse, which is what I'd have done.
That's true. And I think it's what I'd have expected I'd have done. So, on a Daniel scale, 10 out of 10. On a competent human being scale, 5 out of 10.
Did you just immediately freeze?
No.
That's good.
Yeah.
That counts in your favour. Did you, when the woman went to get the defib, did you say, come on, love, this is technology, I'll do this bit?
No, I went to get the defib and then gave it
you
to someone.
You got the defib. You played a vital role in his recovery. That's exciting.
Possibly, yes.
Or
you get lost on the way back or forget what you got out for.
No, again, real risk.
That would have been terrific if you'd come back with the wrong thing. She came back with a first aid kit. I said defibs. Like, right, yes, that makes more sense.
I'd gone looking for a stretcher, and I couldn't find one, and I came back, and I was like, oh, shit, a defib. That's probably really helpful.
Oh, wow. So you didn't even go for the defib. You went for a stretcher. You went for a body bag. We'll just zip him up and chuck him in the Thames. Oh, hang on, a defib. That might help. Did you scream? No. Okay, that's good. This is great. Did you say, I don't like blood. I'm not good with blood. I hope there's no blood. He's not going to bleed, is he? I'm not really good with blood.
I did not say any of those things. I did think them.
Okay, well, that's... But there wasn't any blood. Unless it was just like spurting out of his eyes or something.
No.
Okay. Did you like fence off the scene? Did you like put out some police tape?
No.
It's like throwing chalk around him.
Still working for him.
I was going to get a head start. Some time here.
Stop putting
yellow paper tents for the evidence.
Stop thrashing around. You're getting the chalk all stuck up.
Start putting bits of red wool like tied to his finger and tie one to the wall for the blood splatter analysis. This needs to be thorough sometimes. Did you so after they'd taken him off to the hospital, I imagine you felt a bit like, what the fuck? And did you just go to the pub and fall into each other's arms and make love, like the crisis thing that people sometimes do after like a brush with made you value your own lives so much more?
No, I just went home and
had a wank.
Yeah. I did that anyway. Fairly noteworthy.
Your friend Sarah should have at least given you a handy just out of courtesy.
Well, she's married, so it would be a bit...
Her husband would understand, given the circumstances.
Didn't seem worth the risk.
Okay.
Don't want angry husbands chasing me.
None of the paramedics offered? It's probably not really in their job description, I suppose, is it?
Well, also, they had other concerns at the time.
If St. John's Ambulance had been there...
Was one of their concerns why they arrived at this scene and everybody had shirts off?
And Daniel was kissing the corpse. Okay. And what's the good thing that happened to you this week? Then must have been a good thing as well.
What good thing has happened to me this week?
Come on, for if you tell a story about a bad thing, you have to balance it with a good thing. It's good mental health training.
You didn't kill a man. That's good.
Didn't kill a man. Yeah. He did.
Nobody can prove that his heart attack was your fault.
Mm. I am just the heart attack man. No,
almost certainly wasn't your fault, in fact. Hang on. What position did he play?
I didn't play against him at all.
Okay, well, fine. So you're definitely not involved.
Yeah.
You're not culpable here, Dan. You're in the clear.
which is a good thing.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if you hadn't been at the scene, that would probably be better.
Well, he'd probably have died, so that would have been bad.
Hang on, you're taking credit for him. You're taking credit for him being alive.
Well, if we had left like 5 minutes earlier, it would have been just him and his wife, and she's like 60 something. What?
Because she's a woman, she wouldn't have been able to sustain him.
Yes. Like, CPR is hard, man.
Do you break any of his ribs? He might sue you.
We did break his ribs, but I don't think he's going to sue us.
Out of spite.
You did break his ribs. You did break his ribs.
It's hard to do CPR properly without breaking ribs, isn't it?
You're not pumping hard enough.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Did you break his fingers?
No.
just to send a message. Have you been to visit him in hospital? No. In his convalescence, so you come to visit him and just say, "I got the defib. I found the defib, mate. I did that. That's me." Technically, he owes you his life. If you save somebody's life, then they have to do whatever you want for the rest of their life. I saw that in a Winnie the Pooh cartoon. So, you could use this for good or for evil.
I mean, the one thing to bear in mind here is that it's not going to be a long-term commitment, most likely.
Yeah. I mean, he's got form, hasn't he? So, go on. One good thing that's happened to you this week. It must be something.
There probably is. I've just had no specific thing. I've had a very nice time. Like, I've done choir and training and gymming and things like that.
Banging gym.
Yeah. Banging gym.
Lovely.
I made myself a lovely chicken burger as well today.
Well done. Okay. Would you like to know the bad thing that happened to me this week?
Yes.
Before we move on,
yes,
I have more questions for Daniel.
Oh, God.
I would like to know... I'd like to know about the murder-suicide.
Right, yes.
In the school that you play in.
Yeah.
Because... Probably don't need to know about the murder-suicide, but do you really think that the paramedics and the police responded...
Has the internet cut off Chris for the sake of decency?
I would imagine.
Because a year ago, that happened.
I think you went robot.
Yeah, you went robot there, Chris.
Graham,
what the whole of your question?
I'm practicing knots.
I can see that. I just couldn't work out what that particular knot was.
It's a figure of eight knot. It looked like a figure of eight knot
the first time round, but okay, yes, it does.
I can do that from muscle memory. Stop knot is awkward. And
oh, is that the fiddling out knot?
He's only really doing this the single figure of eight knot rather than the double.
Well, yeah, because I can't loop it through. I can do the double, but that's easy. But then, yes, that's the stop knot. So you need to get the two on that and the X on the other side. But when I've been tying in, it's taken me like 5 attempts to do the stop knot because it's a pain in the ass. I've got it now. So I just bought a little bit of rope so I could practice.
Cool. It looks like quite a nice fidget toy as well.
It's quite fun, yeah.
He's being very fidgety with it. I might get a bit of rope as well.
I'm surprised you don't have one already, honest, yeah.
So Daniel, do you say that there was this massive response to a phone call, say, with someone's having a heart attack?
Yeah.
And you think that there was more attendance because they were aware that a year ago something tragic had happened?
Well, I assume so, because, like, I don't know that you necessarily need 4 policemen for 4 police people for a heart attack.
It seems over the top if they knew the others were coming, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and multiple ambulances.
They've got your name on a list that if the emergency services are ever called in your presence, they have to send policemen just
I think what happened is that you phoned up for the ambulance to say someone's having a heart attack, we think. Mm. Separately, somebody else saw you and phoned up the police to say there's a guy with his shirt off that's running around with a defib. And we think that perhaps they need to be 136'd off to place of safety.
We're given an ASPO.
I couldn't possibly disagree with that. I mean, it seems quite likely.
He's a big guy. He's got a beard. Obviously, terrorist
in a school.
In a school, there's a terrorist in a school. Shirt off, defib.
Well, maybe arms police maybe that showed up.
Yeah.
Just firearm squad.
Flying squad turned up and took you out.
They were terrifyingly young.
Dan, like, the paramedics is terrifyingly young at this point.
No, I know, but the paramedics looked like appropriately grizzled. But the two police that turned up looked like they were in their like early 20s. And I was just like, I feel so fucking old.
Well, it is weird when there are little boys in positions of power, isn't it?
Did you say hello to them that they look like children?
No.
I think they would have enjoyed that.
No.
Like, you're not real police officers. You're much too young.
Did you shout, yeah, come on then, you fucking pigs. It'll take an army to take me down.
How many times did they tase you, Dan?
I remain mercifully untased.
No. Just the CS spray.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, do you have any more questions for Mr. Mercer?
No, I'm content. I'm content. Okay. No further questions, Your Honour.
Excellent.
So, I had a bad thing happen this week, which is typical of political correctness gone mad.
So,
I paid a man to come and service my boiler. Not a euphemism.
Service your boiler.
And when he was here, he called me downstairs and he was just applying the, I can't remember, what's the wording? I sent a picture of it. The danger safety word you do not use. He condemned my boiler. And he had to castrate it, so I can't turn it on again.
This sounds shockingly violent.
I've had this
done. It's very unpleasant.
Absolutely typical of EU regulations. Not even in his remit. I asked him to come and service my boiler. I didn't ask him to check if it was safe or if it was likely to explode and kill me. Didn't ask for that. I just said, service my fucking boiler and then fuck off. But instead, he decided to deactivate it and he left me with no heating or hot water in fucking January.
Shit.
Luckily, it was not 2 weeks ago when it was like -6 overnight.
Do you know what you should have done? Just not had it serviced.
Well, that's just kept it going. That's what I did last year. So, and that was fine. It went for another year.
It just felt really, really sleepy and lethargic all the time for an unknown reason.
There's a carbon monoxide sensor somewhere in the house. I'm sure it would have beeped if I was going to die. But it wasn't gas that was the problem. It was just scalding hot water was potentially going to spray everywhere.
Yeah,
I think it's less of a problem.
from the boiler or out the taps or
just everywhere, coming up out of the toilet.
It sounds to me like you could have just turned the thermostat down.
Well,
if he was like, this water is too hot.
Surely one of the functions of the boiler is to generate scalding hot water. It sounds like it's doing what it's supposed to.
Yes.
It's working too well.
It's just that it's then not meant to come out the side of the boiler, which he said was somewhat imminent.
Which side of the boiler? The wall side or the non-wall side? Because the wall side seems fine, because it's just going to hit the wall and run down.
Or if it went through the where the flue is, it would just shoot at my neighbour's house. Then it's definitely not my problem.
But if your boiler is in a cupboard, you just don't open the door whilst it's spewing out scalding hot water.
Exactly. So
this guy seems like a right melt, doesn't he?
Cowboy.
Yeah.
And there's typical EU woke brigade coming in saying, this is unsafe, that's unsafe. Health and safety, nonsense. GDPR.
Did you think that there was anything wrong with your boy?
Oh, yeah, it's fucked. It's rubbish. Yeah, it's awful. But it is now the third boiler that I've had to buy in my adult life. So I'm averaging one every 5 years, which is pretty good going.
You can get a really good, efficient one now, then, can't
you? Well, that's
you?
The hope, or, because, I mean, it was an absolute barrel of eggs. It was rubbish, and the house was mostly cold. And you're sort of chugging along.
Burst of scalding water.
Yeah.
Just a sort of mist of scalding water that would help warm you up.
All the hot water just spraying out the flue and not going into the radiators. So, so now I've got to find $2,500 to get a man to come and put a new boiler in my house. That's nice.
Around these days, fucking
hell. Yeah, I think $2,200 with VAT. Luckily, earlier on this month, my mum phoned me and said that she had sold some of her great aunt's shares that she'd had left to her, and she'd like split it between the four of us and given us all a little bit of money each. Like, oh, okay, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with that, so I just put it into an ISA. And
now you know.
I'm going to treat myself to a new boiler. But quite, otherwise it would have been, well, that's future Graham's problem.
Yeah.
If your boiler is still working fine in 5 years and you get the urge to buy a new one, you can buy me one.
Yeah.
I'd let you put a boiler in my house if you get addicted to it.
Okay. Have you not had a new boiler recently, though?
There was scope for a new boiler.
Not that recently.
Mine's
8 years ago.
No. When's your new kitchen? Do you not have it done with the kitchen?
2006. No, it was done with when we had the loft.
Oh,
done.
I see. Okay.
So mine's 8 years old, I think.
I mean, what's the lifespan of a boiler? About 9, 10 years?
10 to 15 years, if it's a decent one looked after.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had mine serviced.
See, I've had mine serviced every year since I got it, on the basis that the boiler that we got when we moved into the house was so shit that, like, the first time they had we had somebody come to service it, they condemned it immediately because the heat exchanger was cracked and it was leaking water into the electrics.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. See, after I've heard Graham's story, I think maybe I don't want to.
Well, no, definitely not now. Like, if it was, like, a couple of years old, you hadn't got it serviced, you'd be fine. But if you haven't had it serviced in, like, 10 years, don't stop now, for the love of God.
They love it. Sticker on it. They get commission for every sticker they put on the front of a boiler saying, safety warning, do not use. I reckon.
I did see a lot of stickers. I was very impressed. And they all looked different as well, like he had a little collection.
Yeah, no, well, he only put on the danger one. The other ones came with the house and with the boiler. I don't know why they were there. It was in a cupboard, so I never saw them, so not my problem.
Already being condemned.
Well, he said, because there was like a space where a sticker had been, he said, it looks like this one's been condemned before. Which I thought, well, I mean, I suppose it could, but I don't think you can uncondemn a boiler, can you?
Well, you could take the sticker off.
It's very easy.
Yeah, okay. Well, I should just go and do that then. But he took the fuse out of the spur. I know how to replace that. That's easy. But then he just sort of opened up the front of the boiler and pulled something out. I don't know what it was.
Falls of wires.
Just started pulling shit out. So now we've got.
So what you need is a cowboy boiler man that will just put that back.
Or I could just, I mean, it might have just been performative. It might not even have done anything.
Mm-mm.
I might just turn it back on. What is the worst that could happen if I just turned on an unsafe boiler?
You could have scalding steam aimed directly at your gooch.
Right? That's not the worst thing that could happen.
No.
Like, isn't it? Part of my house exploded. Yeah,
it's up there, but like taking out a large section of the street is...
I'm going to London tomorrow and I'm not coming back till Friday, so it does explode, I won't be here.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, and then insurance will cover it. Just get a new house, isn't it?
New house, new family, new dog. Well, the
kids will be at school.
Well, fine.
Yes, that was the bad thing that happened this week. But a good thing happened. There was a good thing. So you know how, given that it's 2024 and the only way it's possible now to get any kind of feeling of self-worth or achievement in anything, you know, related to your self-esteem is to buy something and then tell people about the thing that you bought.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm going to do.
Excellent.
So I bought...
We've already established this. It's a boiler. That doesn't count.
I haven't bought that yet. I've just signed a legal document saying that I will give him some money if he comes and puts a boiler in my kitchen. And there's bound to be loopholes in that.
Yeah.
So the thing I have bought, which has made my life immeasurably better already because it arrived today, is a microwave toasty maker.
What?
I've heard about these.
Now, it's made by Morphy Richards, so it's not just some Chinese shit. It's basically like two metal plates that you put a sandwich between, like a Breville, but it's just a thing and like the size of a sandwich. And you put it in and clip the sides together, then put it in the microwave for 3 minutes. And the metal plates heat up to, I assume, red hot, and they toast the sandwich. So it's like having a Breville, but without having to have another massive fucking gadget in the kitchen that takes up space in your cupboard.
Okay, that is incredible.
I've seen these, and I have been sceptical. How good are they really?
It is as good as a toaster sandwich maker. I had one at lunchtime, and it was wonderful. Because if you fancy a cheese toasty, there isn't anything else you could eat that would scratch that itch.
No.
You could cheese on toast would probably come closest, but it's a faff, isn't it? And it's never quite the same, and a toast will always go a little bit more burnt than you want.
£33. Fucking hell.
We got it off the TikTok shop for £17, I think.
Yeah, 17 seems a lot more reasonable.
That the Morphy Richards Micro, and it's incredible. We've already made 4 sandwiches today. And it does a good job. It's even got like the lines on it, like the Burkwatt grill pen has been used to draw on them, so you know it's done a good job.
Nice.
I recommend it highly to everyone in the world.
See, I'm going to have to go like down a TikTok rabbit hole to find how to get it on the TikTok shop.
I can probably send you a link.
Oh, nice.
I assume that if you do, you'll be, like, funding terrorism or something.
I fund terrorism every day. It's fine.
I mean, he does it more directly. He's the treasurer for an Al-Qaeda cell. We've covered this.
No, I just do practice chemical warfare on the London water system every 6 hours or so.
You go around sabotaging defibrillators.
So, on the strength of your recommendation... and because I've got a time-limited Amazon voucher, I'm going to buy one now live on the podcast.
That is exciting.
It is. I've got £10 left on a gift certificate, apparently. Right. Exactly £10. That's suspicious. I've got a promotion of £15 for using Amazon Photos. I let them have all my photos, and they look after them for me for free, and they've given me a £15 voucher. But it had to be... I had to spend over £30 by the 15th of February and from something that Amazon sold themselves, not through a third party. So I'm paying $8.99 for this.
Wow, that is incredible. The TikTok shop, it's gone back up to $27.55 now, Dan. I'm sorry about this.
No, that's fine.
It's still a bit cheaper.
Yeah.
So then we can do, on next week's episode, an unboxing and a microwave toasting.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah.
So, you know, reasons to stay alive for another 7 to 14 days?
Yeah.
All the toasties I want.
A good thing has happened. A good thing's happened to you, and now a good thing is going to happen to me.
That's true, yes.
Yeah. As a result.
Yeah.
Everyone likes good things.
A toasty maker would sit in the cupboard for, I would say, 50 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
Except every 6 months, you would suddenly remember that cheese and ham toasties exist. And you would want that more than anything else. And you'd make loads in 1 week. Then you put it away again and get it out another 6 months later. This is little, and it will just fit in a drawer.
Mm.
Mm. I've seen them, and I've been very tempted, but I haven't had a direct review and recommendation.
Now, how do you suppose I get commission?
If I'm pleased, then I will post you a toasted sandwich.
A posty toasty.
Yeah, that's got to be an opportunity.
You might have to re-toasty it when it gets to you.
Well, probably the easiest thing would be if you made it but didn't toast it, then post it to me and I'll just pop it in my toasty maker. But remember to butter the outside of the bread. People get confused by that, don't they? And the envelope. Yeah, butter the outside of the envelope. So the postman just keeps dropping it. Oh, no, you can't use the postal service now because I'm boycotting the post office because I've watched the Toby Jones program.
Yes.
About how the post office killed loads of people and it forcibly you took their children and stuff.
Sending all of your stuff by, like, UPS.
I'm just chucking it through people's windows now.
That's a reasonable reaction.
Mm. Yeah. I suppose I could still use... Can you use Royal Mail without using the post office?
Yeah.
You could just post it through a postbox, but do the Royal Mail...
They'll do collection.
Yeah.
Like you can arrange to have your postman collect your package to deliver it to somebody.
But does the post office like get like a cut of every stamp sold or something?
I don't know how the funding model works. Mm. Badly, probably. You'd have to check because you don't want to accidentally have your money going to them.
No. I think I would rather fund terrorism and Israel than the post office because of what they did to those poor people. Some of whom were Welsh. They don't deserve that, do they? They're Welsh. They've got enough going on. But it's quite a good program. It's massively overacted, and a lot of the time you can see they're just essentially in every scene somebody should be standing nodding to camera going, "Oh, aren't they awful? All those naughty post office people. Oh, well, look what they did. Oh, is she sad now?" They labour the point somewhat.
Maybe it needs like an Attenborough overlay.
Yeah, but it is a genuinely awful.
Oh yeah, it's horrendous
story.
And like, I mean, I've been following it for like a decade at this point.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's because it's I've known about it for. Easily over, I reckon 2007 or 8 was when I first heard about it on the radio. And then it amazed me that it had still rumbled on for so long. Mm. I just thought, that's the thing I know about.
It's absolutely
and assumed it had been resolved.
Staggering. It's absolutely staggering that the government didn't really do anything until there was a TV show made about it. And they're just like...
There was the court case in 2015. And after that, the government was still like, I don't see there's any reason to look into it.
2 years ago.
Yeah, well, but in 2015, there was the court case that they lost. And the government were like, this seems fine, we don't need to look into this, and continue giving contracts to Fujitsu. Then there was the public inquiry that was launched, and the government carried on giving contracts to Fujitsu and were like, this is all fine. And then there's an ITV drama, and the government's like, something must be done about this immediately.
But then there's a performative thing about taking off Paula Venables' CBE or whatever it was, which they gave to her in 2019.
I know, that's what's...
Well known. It's really bizarre.
What I found remarkable was the amount of stuff that was new that came out like in the last sort of month and a bit. Because like I knew a load of the stuff that had been going on that most people haven't heard of, because if you hadn't been following the story, you wouldn't know what was going on. And then, like, all this other stuff started coming out as well about the stuff that Fujitsu had been doing and other stuff the post office had been doing. The fact they were claiming tax relief on the money that they were paying as compensation to the people that they prosecuted. And it's like, it's just fucking mad. things that they were doing. And like Fujitsu, like whoever their PR person is, they need to pay them more, because they basically like came out, went, yep, we fucked up. This was all our fault. We shouldn't have done it. We're going to pay compensation. We're going to sort this out. We shouldn't be applying for any more government contracts. And everyone's like, what? Who? What? Yeah. And it was just like, you know, get ahead of it straight away. Meanwhile, the post office was all going, oh, well, we thought that, we don't think we've done anything wrong, really. I think it's mostly fine. Maybe a little bit around the edges, but like broadly, I think everything's okay.
Well, the amazing thing is that Fujitsu still provide the Horizon software to the post office.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, no, it's really robust now. And yeah, well, that's fine then.
What I find fascinating and horrifying is the part where at some point someone said, Fujitsu suck. They're responsible for like the three worst procurement disasters in British history. But our own laws somehow prevent us holding that against them. And if they're the lowest bidder on future contracts, we're somehow obliged to still use them.
Well, this is the thing that was. This is the thing that like is a fundamental. Seems to be a fundamental misunderstanding of how government works, right? Because I get that they like that potentially that they could discriminate against Fujitsu like bidding for contracts, right? But the requirement for... No, well, like, hypothetically, right, you could say that regardless of... Assuming that no, like, directly criminal acts have been carried out, then, like, you can't ban companies who meet all the criteria from bidding for a contract, right? You can see that being a potential legal argument. But it's not, like, the choice of who to... Like, who to give a contract to is not based on the lowest bidder. It's based on the best value for money for the taxpayer, right? So it's because there's no point going, we'll do it for a tenner, but they don't deliver any of the stuff that you need, because that's not good value for money, right? So then you just go, well, they've put in the lowest bid, but also every previous time we've given them a contract, they fucked it up. And in fact, last time we did it, a load of people went to jail who shouldn't have done. Maybe that should count against them in terms of whether or not they're good value for this contract. Like, well, that would have been surely the logical thing to do.
In an old job, I had to work with Fujitsu, and I went to their office in Bracknell and spoke with quite a lot of the engineers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's it is basically down to incompetence, but I can definitely see how that would have happened. And there was even the denials, they probably just didn't realize. I don't think, I think it would be very easy for them to non-maliciously just say, oh no, you can't do that, and then find out that you could do it, and then go, oh shit, which does seem to be what happened. But they they were very crap.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, Dan, like the Horizon is not their only spectacular procurement failing.
In
a way, they're an inspiration for, you know, being
triumph of having a go at,
and just continuing to put themselves out there, continuing to sort of learn by
persevering.
Failing.
Never
give
learn
up
from our failures. In fairness,
it was a very complicated system that they were designed, wasn't it?
The kicker, which is great fun, is it appears to have been written in VB. They published a bunch from the 2015 court case. There was a bunch of code snippets that got published, and as far as we could tell, it was VB, which does not ever bode well. I mean, I know it was like the late 90s, but still.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It was of its time, but also rubbish.
I love how that's also kind of one of the excuses that gets trotted out for when someone's done a massive racism. It was
VB.
Yeah.
The most racist of programming languages. Yeah. Actually, no, somebody will have developed, like, intentionally a specifically racist programming language. I can guarantee it. It will have been on 4chan. Somebody will have come up with a racist programming language.
The lathe of heaven turns so quickly.
I was trying to think of a pun, which was a programming language with a racial slur, and I thought, that's probably not a thing I should say on a recorded medium, is it?
No.
I abandoned that
train of thought. It shows great personal growth that you realise that you've been the setter before.
Yeah, I'm getting quite good at just stopping dead now. So, have any good and or bad things happened to you this week, Adam and or Chris?
Not not really had any good things happen. Not really had any bad things happen. I mean, the week is not over yet. I'm only halfway through.
Any mediocre things?
Well, we're not doing any work this week because end of month change freeze. So I've been quite bored not having anything to do because I don't want to do the documentation that technically I should be doing. So I've just been sort of sitting around being a bit bored.
For me, a good thing happened that I went on holiday.
Yes.
And then a bad thing happened that the holiday ended. I had to come back to work.
I can see that being very upsetting.
If you just moved to Greece, then you would always be on holiday.
Well, this wasn't Greece. This was Cyprus. Same thing. Which is like bizarro world Greece. It's the because same. They drive on the left.
Yeah.
Took us away. We're kind of like, what's different about this? Oh, yeah, they're driving on the left. We got into our room. Half the plugs were UK sockets, which is actually the standard socket. They just have the European ones for European guests in the hotel.
Yeah.
So they drive on the left. They use our British electric. That's very pleasing, isn't it?
They still have pounds.
No.
Used to be Cypriot pounds. They're euros now.
They are euros. Typical. Yeah. But yeah, I went to have a haircut there. Yeah. So that was good. I like to have a haircut when I'm on holiday.
And did a man singe your ear hair with paraffin?
He didn't singe my ear hair with paraffin. He did put hot wax up my nostrils.
Did he, where that was going.
Did he singe your pubes?
No, it was he just did face hairs. That was his remit and head hairs.
Odd fetish, but sure.
So he put he said, Would I like to have the wax on my nose? And I said, I've not had it before, but yeah, sure, why not? I see a lot of people having it done. And then he didn't ask, and maybe it came as like a package with the hot wax. Is he
judge your
threaded? He threaded my eyebrows.
Ooh.
And by my eyebrows, I mean like all of my forehead. and that was really painful.
So
the nose hair thing was all right. But he went to pull it out and he didn't realise quite how much purchase there would be in my nose. And he couldn't get it out of the
way. He's like, bang your head into the desk.
He had to use both hands and really grip the stick as hard as he could and brace against my forehead.
No, put his foot on your chin.
Yeah.
That sounds quite pleasant.
Very pleasing mental image.
So have you immediately got a cold? Because that's what happens to me anytime I trim my nose hair.
Really?
Get a cold within a week.
No, well, I was in a warmer place, so yeah. I've been all right.
All the germs get caught in the hairs, don't they? But then also it's horrible.
The whole time I was in Cyprus, I was paranoid that Adam's father would track me down. I'd just be strolling along and I'd get this tap on the shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, 100% saying, he knew you were there.
Yeah. You're Chris, yeah? Friend of my boy? Friend of Adam's? I've got a parcel I want you to take home for him. Put it in your bag, but don't say anything. It's a surprise.
That is the worst impression of Adam's dad I've ever heard.
I thought it was quite accurate.
Well, I've never met him, so...
Yeah. I quite enjoyed meeting Adam's dad at the wedding and finding that he was not still sort of in a way terrifying, but not actively terrifying at me, which is nice. So
I mean, it does help that probably the last time that you saw him, you were like 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but he's now in his 70s.
Yeah, it did really regress me a lot, though. And sort of slight worry that he might just completely destroy me with a sort of sideways comment. But he didn't. It was fine. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I guess that was just a truce for the wedding. If he saw you outside of the wedding context.
Oh, I'd be finished. Yeah.
Yeah.
Toast.
So, Chris, have you had any more encounters with the piss wizard?
He said to me,
no.
He's lucky it's my boy's wedding day. If it wasn't his wedding day, I'd be fucking you up.
Yeah. Remember, though, you owe me one. No further encounters with the piss wizard, but I'm quite self-conscious in that toilet that my piss is audible in the office next door.
Just like layering the toilet with toilet paper first to absorb the sound.
Are you sort of pinching it slightly to make it sound like a less, let's say, not a sort of boosting with your flow?
Maybe I'll have to just wee in a bottle.
Well, no, but like, if you keep...
Say, why are you doing that?
You do what they do in the movies. You put a pillow against the end of it, and that muffles the sound.
Well, it's not so much about muffling it. I was thinking that you don't want it to sound quite as free-flowing as it clearly is, because that's just... You know, you're just not rubbing his face in it. Obviously, it's going to be a tribunal. But, you know, you don't want to just go around boasting about your excellent prostate.
Why not?
Now's the best time to do it. You know, the king's been out there talking about it.
King has, he's really shone light on prostate issues, hasn't he, with his very brave going in and having it deflated. What were they doing there?
Yeah.
Milked.
I feel like
whatever Kate was doing at the same time.
Yeah, it's suspicious, isn't it?
Saying they've probably done a face-off. So, like, she gets to be king, and he gets to go out and enjoy his life for a bit.
What do you? Like, oh, right. Sorry, a literal face-off from the film. Yeah, that could be it. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
What would be better? It would be if they hadn't done the complicated plastic surgery and they'd just come out and she was just dressed in his king clothes.
She's wearing a dress.
Yeah.
I don't think she'd have tolerated having his fingers.
No, I mean, nobody should tolerate having those fingers. She would have just had a pound of sausages just on the end of her sleeves, wouldn't she?
Yes.
I've got a question for fellow... Climber Graham.
Yes. Is it Climbing Corner?
Climbing Corner, it could be. Do you think that those sausage fingers would be an advantage to a climber?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Because I don't think you get any grip with them, because I think the skin is so tight across them that any kind of
probably
nick or cut or abrasion, would they just rupture? Yeah.
If you were climbing somewhere, like if you were climbing an actual mountain rather than like a wall somewhere, you could like jam them into the cracks.
I don't think they get into the cracks. That's the problem.
Mm.
Well, wide cracks.
Suppose. I mean, and
there must be a very particular kind of crack that would be an advantage.
Yeah, but I also think it's the volume
they
of the fingers
delicate.
Isn't muscle, is it? Yeah. It's sort of emphysema or whatever, like just pus, I suppose.
You think like fluidy.
Yeah,
fluid-y.
So I don't think you get much purchase. And they look, well, it's not so much the hands, it's more the man, but I think he looks like he'd be very sweaty.
What if he were to push his hands into a crack?
Yeah.
And then hold his breath.
So they and expanded.
So they inflated. So they expanded.
Yeah.
And then reposition his legs and then breathe out.
Okay.
And they deflate. And then he could go again.
Yeah, I suppose that's feasible. I mean, if he was bouldering, he could just use them as like a crash mat as well, couldn't he?
I suppose.
Yeah.
Have to be quick.
I can't imagine
feel like it'd be like an overall pro. Like I feel like it would, you know, at best you're looking at it sort of balancing out.
I don't imagine King is a very prolific climber. I don't think.
No,
I don't need.
I reckon
Kate is a very prolific social climber.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's sort of done the ultimate social climb move, hasn't she? That's a real big dino marrying.
Yeah, that was really
Peach King.
Yeah.
That was really clever of Dan.
It was good, wasn't it? I liked it. Yeah.
I get like one good line every 6 months or so. So I got to enjoy them while I get them.
You wear trauma well, Daniel.
Thanks. I think.
Here would be a fun thing that we could do is we could say whether you know, we discuss politicians. What kind of politician would you like to play board games with? Like what public figures do you think would be good to go climbing with?
Well, I guess
I think Rishi Sunak looks really quite wiry. He's very short, but he looks also thin.
Yeah, but
wiry.
He would absolutely let you die to save his own life.
Yes.
Good power to weight ratio, I think.
He might just knock you off the wall just for fun.
You would not want him to belay for you.
No, because he'd just be constantly like checking his bank balance.
Yeah. I would enjoy Boris Johnson only on the proviso that basically it would be a murder and I'd just shove him off a climbing wall with a poorly attached rope.
It would be pretty funny watching him trying to get off the ground, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'd take him to the top and claim he was doing abseiling or something. Then invite him to check his own ropes, which he wouldn't know how to do because he's incompetent. And then I'd just
refuse to admit that he didn't know how to do.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the perfect murder.
And he'd just be waving two little Union Jacks, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Hopefully he could land on them and they could, like, impale themselves into his arsehole.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Mm.
I'd like to go climbing with Angela Rayner.
Yeah, I can see that. That'd be good.
You just do anything. Like this.
Is there something you could use as a crash mat there, Graham?
No, I don't think so. No, don't be crude. I just think we would have a lovely day on the rock face together, and then fall into each other's arms by the fire in a little cabin.
Good.
Yes, I suppose.
Yeah, lovely.
Hmm.
David Lammy would be an absolute beast. Banging up V1s and in seconds.
I reckon
I'm not Jeremy sure. Corbyn, I think he's carrying a bit of extra.
Yeah, that's true.
Extra weight that's not going to help him.
Jeremy Corbyn.
I reckon he's.
I would go with him.
As an alpinist.
Hey.
I see him as an alpinist.
Yeah, maybe
out in the cold.
Yeah,
out in the cold weathers.
Mm.
I'd like his mental brother to come as well, just for a laugh, just to balance him out. Because I think Jeremy Corbyn would probably be a bit much.
I think the problem is that Piers Corbyn is also probably a bit much. Like, I don't think either of them really have much of an off button.
But then he might make Jeremy look more bearable.
That's not a trade you want to make, I don't think.
No, I suppose.
I don't think Jeremy Corbyn would really be that bothered about politics. I think he would have had enough of all of that.
Mm,
just wanna,
it's possible.
I think he'd just welcome just something different.
Yeah.
Mm.
Something to do with this time.
Well, I'm going to...
be okay.
You what?
I reckon a Miliband would be okay, but not two Milibands.
You don't want a double Miliband.
No.
It's the last thing anybody wants.
Are there any politicians, are there any serving MPs that are keen into rock climbing?
I think.
I don't have to declare it on the register of members' interests. Like, I think it's just a hobby.
Wouldn't it be lovely if the record of members' interests was just like that pointless bit of the CV where you say what you like to do?
Yeah, I like keeping active.
I think that would be really funny for one key reason, in that it would be a written record of what football team every MP says they support, and you can constantly like test them on do they actually support that club, just like the classic, you know, big result at the weekend, Dave, and see what they say.
The problem is, then they'd have something to refer back to, wouldn't they? So, aide memoir.
Yeah, but you can't wander around with the register of members' interests open all the time.
Yeah, these days, that's what smartphones for.
Mm. Well, it's a bit obvious, isn't it?
I liked David Cameron's approach to just claret and blue, one of them. Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't matter, does it? I think that's a bold move.
Don't give a shit in the first place.
I mean, you can certainly say that if David Cameron did anything, it was a bold move. Because really, that might not have ever done anything.
Right, well...
What would David Cameron's third team be?
Sorry?
So it's Aston Villa, then West Ham. Who else plays in claret and blue? I was thinking Scunthorpe, yeah. But I wasn't certain.
I don't think he's heard of Scunthorpe, though.
No.
No.
What other Claret and Blues are there? Must be at that least one other.
I'm not sure. It's such a classic combo.
It's good.
You'd
good
think that there would be more.
Burnley.
I should really back myself because I was thinking Scunthorpe and Burnley. I just didn't have the confidence to say them.
No.
Well, Burnley describes themselves just as the Clarets, not the Claret and Blues.
Right.
So, but that doesn't necessarily mean it. They might just not want to be associated with West Ham, which, you know, understandable in some circumstances.
Nobody plays in green, do they? They should play in green because then they're camouflaged.
Celtic.
Yeah.
They don't count. They're Scotch. And it's green and white.
I will say that Forest Green should definitely play in green. Like, that feels like cheating otherwise.
There are definitely clubs that have had green away kits.
Yeah, that doesn't count either, though.
There's got to be some teams with green home kit, surely.
Yeovil playing white and green, or green and white.
Yeah.
Nobody plays in brown, do they?
Brown. It's a good colour.
It's not.
You can sort of describe, like... Yeah, no, they're not brown. They are still, like, purpley red rather than browny purple or purpley brown or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, well, riveting though this is, I'd like to go to bed now.
Yeah, that seems fair.